going naked. I just hit record. That's how this episode's going to go.
Of course you would definitely start us off on that note.
Me naked.
Actually, you're very far from naked. You have a...
I'm much closer to naked than you are.
You have a fine pair of shorts on today.
I do have shorts on today.
Does that mean we are in now the summer months of Southern California?
Well, it's 80 degrees today.
What was it a week ago?
Like 65.
And then a week before that?
65. It's been raining. It'd been raining a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, it's that drive, dude.
Yeah, it's nice and green, isn't it?
I was going to say the drive up to Santa Barbara you made last week. I was like, this is what Josh got the whole way up.
Yeah.
And it's so gorgeous. I wanted to pull over. I might pull over on the way back up and kind of, you know, take a picture and say this did happen once.
Who was this green once?
People are, I asked the California natives, you know, have you ever seen something like this? And they're like, yeah, it used to be like this before you guys got here.
You ruined it.
4 more million cars than we could handle. It was green.
Yeah. Well, you have a Prius, so.
I do.
You're saving the world.
You know, one.
Yeah, I got to tell you something. You've never heard this.
Okay.
Last weekend, I was in Santa Barbara.
That's true. Well, I know that one. I know that part.
You do know that, yeah. I took your car back home to get my car, and then before I drove out here.
Yeah.
It took me 15 minutes to figure out how to turn your parking brake off.
No, come on.
It was midnight on a Saturday Friday night.
But didn't you do it, though, like a week before that?
You didn't have the parking brake on.
Oh, yeah, I didn't mean
so that. I didn't know how... I swear to God, I had to look it up on YouTube.
No, what?
I couldn't figure it out. I couldn't find it.
That's crazy.
Because it's so, like, it's underneath and way set back.
The parking brake is always the third pedal if it's, you know, not a stick car.
Well, no, my car has a...
A latch?
I don't know.
Your hands?
Yeah.
Nothing, you shouldn't...
It's a 2016 Ford Focus.
Yeah, no one brakes with their hands. Why would they want to make that relationship? Brake? Yeah,
The parking brake.
Okay, yeah, you're totally right.
Yeah, and I couldn't find the parking brake in your car, and there's a giant light on your console that says parking brake, and I was trying to back out, and I couldn't.
Yeah.
I'm like, what's going on?
I'm glad it worked.
Yeah, and I saw a brake, and I was like, oh, the parking brake's on, and I looked to my right, I looked on the steering wheel.
Yeah.
I looked on the floor where the pedals are.
Yep.
And
there
was nothing.
Yeah, I understand.
So I 15 minutes, I'm just looking, kind of freaking out.
Yeah, that's a harrowing position to be in.
So then I went on YouTube and it said, oh, it's the third pedal. And I'm like, there's no third pedal.
Yeah, there. Yeah.
Like, I almost had to, like, I got to look up his year. I got to, hopefully his book's in the car.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, then I got out of the car. I had to get out of the car. And then
I wish I had seen this.
And then look on the ground.
Oh my gosh.
And then I saw it. And then I figured out how to release it. And then I was able to get home.
Oh man, I'm glad. Honestly, you might have been stranded there.
Because
you would have been too embarrassed to say why you couldn't leave.
Yeah.
And you would have just been like, I just decided to stay.
I don't, all my plans this weekend, whatever.
You had pretty amazing plans. You had plans that I've told your last weekend story to up to three parties, maybe two, but more than one.
Like, you're at a party and this is how you,
this is like an icebreaker. Well, I was talking with my mom on the phone. That's who I tell about your weekend, Josh. I tell mom about what you're up to.
She can call me.
You can call me. She should.
Yeah.
I'll tell her to give you a ring.
Just give me a call, Elaine.
Because you were doing some, I wasn't able to coin a clever phrase for it, but you were activating your peers in political discourse in a way that was fun, in a way that was like, I don't know, it wasn't a conversation that sprouted while you were having dinner. It was like, no, we're going to get together and talk about these things because LA had an election coming up.
Well, that was so, I guess to tell the full story, friend of the show, Drew.
Friend of the show.
He
Is that true?
Yeah. He registered to be a participant in a organization called Swing Left, which is pretty much its focus is to try to swing the House of Representatives more blue. And this organization talks about targeting specific people, and that was the intention of the meeting. But it just so happened that we were, had an election in Los Angeles 2 days later.
So you had, okay, I get it.
Or 3 days later.
I mean, that was just a coincidence.
It was a coincidence. Yeah, the timing of that was like
fun.
So something that Drew
pitched. Even better then.
Yeah, something that Drew pitched was that a couple of people kind of break down the election that was on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And myself and another one. Another person, another one. DJ Khaled.
Isn't like a well-placed another one is so satisfying. It's like it's yeah. as good as That's What She Said on yes. the level of like, if you can place it right,
yeah.
then you win like that conversation.
Yeah.
It's like score one.
My friend Amory was the other person who...
Not met. I would like to meet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
One
yeah.
day.
Yeah, one day.
We'll get there.
Yeah. But I guess
but the
friend of the show, Patrick's, it's a special lady friend.
Ah, understood.
So the two of us who are
SLF special lady friend.
Yeah. The two of us are super politically, not necessarily active, but aware. So the two of us kind of did a presentation of everything that was happening on Tuesday. So yeah. all the ballot measures and then some of the candidates.
Right.
And yeah, so we did a little thing. I wore my Obama suit.
I was going to say, like, if you weren't going to mention it, I was going
to
mention it.
Come on, man. I literally had to tell the story of why I was wearing that suit, referencing you. Like... Brandon thought it was going to be funny if I wore my Barack suit that I've been talking about for years to this political thing. And then I was like, I guess I have to do it. So I did.
I feel like if you didn't wear it, you would be sitting there going like, why would I not take advantage of this?
Also
Obama suit.
Also, it's a great suit.
It's
honestly the most comfortable thing I own.
Okay. It looks comfortable. You look comfortable in it.
Thank you.
And then you also sent me a photo of it in that morning. And that was like the first thing I saw. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, I woke up kind of like Josh. That was a later evening for comfort. Well,
you were DJing. The Jazz and Rib Fest or whatever it was.
I wish it was a Rib Fest. It's certainly not.
Yeah.
It's definitely a quote unquote jazz fest that I did not get to witness any of the jazz.
Well, so. You got to play some of that jazz.
I heard your
two other cohorts play some jazz, and then you did play music that was good.
I played music influenced. I played music that definitely inspired my artists.
You didn't even play like Flying Lotus.
No.
Or Thundercat.
No, I did play Thundercat.
Okay. All right.
I think
you played Them Changes.
Yeah. Or no. I played my other favorite from that record, which I don't know what it is. Right.
Okay.
Now, but ooh, it's so good.
Then you didn't even play Kendrick.
No, I don't.
Yeah. So like the jazziest, like no Robert Glasper.
Okay. Listen, they should have told me.
They did.
No.
They did.
Correction. Okay.
I was there in the morning.
They should have.
You got that message in the morning.
Oh, yeah. Just to play jazz?
To play jazz.
Whatever, dude. That's it. So I realized something about myself is that, man, I'm going to be really bad at corporate gigs and weddings.
Oh, no. You're going to, I mean, you might kill at bar mitzvahs.
I could definitely. I'm popular with that community. So,
yeah. Which community?
The Jewish community. Did you just want to hear me say
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I did.
Beautiful. How you been?
I
are you holding it together?
I'm holding it together.
You're a little sick.
I'm recovering. I'm a recovering sick person.
I appreciate you inviting me into your home still, even though you're under the weather.
Yeah, it's mostly a nice little sinus infection. People like hearing. Mm-hmm. So my voice, I might sound like 15 different people by the time this podcast is over.
You usually do. You usually let out a few of your personalities.
Yeah. I'm not even gonna be doing characters. Oh. I might just lean away from the microphone long enough for my voice to change. And then midway through a sentence, I'll like cough and then it'll sound completely different. I will do my best to edit out all the coughs. I can't promise that they won't be picked up by Brandon's microphone. I'm drinking some throat coat. There's a helicopter battalion flying above our head.
Hmm. You think that was more than one?
It wasn't. It was going to the hospital.
Yeah. Oh,
there's
boy.
A children's hospital with a helipad next to me. But yeah, I might sound like a bunch of different people.
Yeah.
I also might sound real sexy. I don't know.
I think it's going to be a combination of both. I'm thinking
raspy. You
know, I saw a few, was this flu season? I honestly can't even remember.
I think it's starting. I know, I went down with it on Wednesday.
Yeah.
I knew two people yesterday who got sick. It is in the air. I mean, it seemed like you were sick.
It's legitimately in the air.
Yeah.
It's not like, and it,
like, yeah,
I'm respecting that phrase, like, as in to take it literally, it is in the Southern California air.
Yeah.
It's getting, there's a cold front carrying it up the North Coast.
Yeah.
We had two people go down during last weekend.
Yeah.
I had a weekend of hosting friends, friends of the show.
Yeah.
Are friends that we have in our life just friends of the show? Is that just
at
kind
this
of
point,
always?
At this point, no. Okay. Well, one of them actually is a friend of the show. Yeah, did make the logo.
She did make shout outs to Hannah. That was the first episode we thanked her for the logo. We never thanked her after.
Well, no, you got one.
It's like episode 25, right?
Oh, man.
And whichever.
Something like that.
Every 25 episodes, we'll thank Hannah for the logo.
Yeah, yeah. So every 6 years. Yeah.
But her and her husband, wow. Patrick came down. And I've never referenced him like that.
I thought you referenced him as hubby.
I just know that she hates that. So, and I kind of hate it, too.
Yeah, me too.
They were scheduled to come down and visit, and as soon as they got there, I came down with just allergic.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just I got hit really hard with a bug, and so did Patrick.
Yeah.
So two people who were unprepared to be sick.
Yeah.
Were sick together.
Yeah.
In the same and we had to work around it.
Yeah.
It's terrible. We're taking Sudafed. We're taking allergy pills. Like, no drowsy. Like, I don't care if it's drowsy. Like, it was a whole thing.
I feel like the change in temperature so we had a lot of rain for a while. And then there was a kind of relatively rapid change in temperature. I mean, it's gonna be 90 tomorrow.
I can't believe it.
I think that just released all the allergens.
Yeah.
And it took everyone out.
Bloomed.
Like everyone out.
Yeah.
Cause like you were sick. I went out with it on Wednesday.
Yeah.
And, I know several other people who went out with it. And it was just like instant.
I'm usually not paying attention because I'm usually like feeling fine. Like just, you know, smoking cigs, drinking whiskeys, just impenetrable.
Yeah.
But no, I had to take a seat. Mm-hmm.
Oh my God.
I'm on the, what?
I thought you were going to mention the air purifier.
Oh, I did. What? What?
I feel like you've mentioned it to me every single day this week. And you were so proud of it last weekend.
Having an air purifier, a good air purifier, is like having a good vacuum. You gotta, like, it's that notch on your belt of you're not 18 anymore. It's
right.
Like, listen, I care about the air that I breathe.
Yes.
That is not the only allergic reaction to being in my place. So I'm actually making an effort to make my cat filled home a place where people can breathe. Mm-hmm. I understand that some people can't breathe there.
Yes.
And it's probably the urine.
It's the urine and the dander. Because the cats clean themselves with their tongue and so it's the saliva. That gets me, at least.
So,
it's not so much the cat as it is the cat's mouth.
So I have them scheduled for surgery to remove most of their jaw. That was my next. You didn't let me, like, every time I talked about the air purifier, I never got to that part.
The next level of air purification in the home
is by removing your cat's entire. Most of its face.
Cool.
You still get the butt part, which is the best part.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But so, yeah, glad to thank you for inviting me into your home for another glorious episode. Glad you're on the recovery. Glad that you didn't. What was I proud of you this week for? 70 day streak? 69 day streak.
Yeah. Every day this year, I've.
You've moved according to your.
My watch is.
According to your fitness.
Yeah, my watch tells me to move. See, my voice just changed again. My watch tells me to move, and then I move. And yeah. I did not let this cold hold me down. I think that's a Tupac song.
It's really. It's.
So, instead of resting, I went to work at a night gig on whatever day it was, Thursday.
One of these days.
And instead of sitting there in the room as things render, as they were rendering, I got up and just walked around the neighborhood.
Really?
Yeah. And I had three projects that I was rendering or working on. And as I rendered each one, I went for like a little like
a jaunt.
Yeah, like less than a mile each.
Yeah,
but
you moved
three of those.
Yeah,
that's some distance.
Mm-hmm.
And then you know,
were you just like listening to podcasts or
yeah? I was listening to this show. Yeah,
listening to some back episodes.
Yeah.
Like, man, that theme was really good.
Yeah, I gotta do the theme. This week.
I was gonna say, I think it's your turn.
It is definitely,
and
my turn.
You've definitely been chopping in the. You've sent me some screen caps. Thank you for showing me the sidechain, by the way, the other day.
Yeah.
That was, I felt very technologically connected to you at that point where I ask you, hey, how do I accomplish sidechaining in Native Instrument Machina?
Yeah.
And you gave me the instructions and then you screen capped what to do.
Yeah.
Which was, I mean, I was staring at a 7-minute YouTube video and I'm like,
yeah.
It's not this long.
No.
It doesn't take this long. I'm not going to watch this.
Yeah.
And then lo and behold, it's like a preference setting. Ah, geez. I've been having a lot of fun with Machina lately.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw this. Yeah. Saw your snap.
I snapped it out. Did you? I was getting into my Reznor phase at that moment. I was having a little.
Yeah. There was like some industrial drums in there.
Yeah. I think all you need for a Reznor beat is a clippy sub kick,
yeah,
and a washed out snare that sounds kind of like noise, like a Sega,
yeah,
like a 16-bit,
yeah, yeah,
and that's it. Those are the two.
Do some like plate reverb, so yeah. It's like really long.
Remember that Nine Inch Nails parody song that someone came out with?
Yeah,
can we make one of those? can we give ourselves some homework?
We can try.
This is the Reznor song. Weird guitar. Yeah, God, it's so good.
Yeah. Yeah, he's that Trent Reznor. He's going to go places.
You think so?
Multiple
I don't know.
Grammys,
not if he keeps. I mean,
Oscars.
True. He stopped doing the thing that I got into him for, though.
I mean, not which really, was Nine Inch Nails,
which was
With Teeth albums.
It was a particular era of Nine Inch Nails.
With Teeth.
With Teeth. I mean, Year Zero, I thought was really slick.
Yeah.
And so was the one before. Four hesitation marks. The Slip? No, that's one of the songs on it.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
Yeah, whatever.
I did not like the new EP that came out Christmas.
Oh, Eve. No, me neither. Yeah. Did we even talk about that?
We started to.
Yeah.
In our music episode.
Right.
And then we were both like.
And so we're still feeling it. I haven't even revisited it since. What are you listening to?
What am I listening to?
Besides back episodes.
Besides back episodes.
I was thinking we could have a segment on the podcast. What are you listening? What are you reading? What are you listening to? Or something
It's like a Bieber lyric. What are you listening to?
Oh, really? Is it?
I don't know. It sounds like a good
deal.
My heavy rotation right now on
Hook Me Up.
iTunes. It's The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill is number one. Number one. Number two is Awaken My Love. Number three is Processed by Sampha. Four is Into by Sonder. And five is that Calvin Harris song with Frank Ocean.
Oh,
it's good. It's real good. And the Migos.
I mean, I played that song during Jazz Fest.
Yeah.
And I feel like that wasn't a problem. Wait, no, you know what? No, I played it the week before. I don't think I played it that night.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is
I also just noticed that number six was the Fugees. So I've been on a bit of a Lauryn Hill thing.
How's she doing, man? She's great. You're just checking in, making sure she's still the greatest.
Yeah, it was a couple weekends ago. I watched Sister Act 2. I rented it on iTunes because you can't find anywhere. It's like not streaming anywhere. I cannot find the soundtrack outside of a physical CD copy that's like $35 on Amazon.
I just feel like you should buy it.
I'm not spending $35 for the Sister Act 2 soundtrack when I really just want two songs. And here's the thing. I can't even find a legal version of it.
You know what I can't find? Is anything that accepts discs in your apartment.
I do have a USB. I have a USB super drive.
You have to get Apple like an super external.
But I have to dongle it. I have to dongle it in to my Mac.
I'd almost want you to order the CD just so that you could show me what it takes to listen to it.
Yeah, it would be a lot of work.
Does your we were talking about your car earlier. Does it have a CD player on the front?
Yes.
Okay.
But I instead of it having CDs, it has my
software discs in it. It's my my car seriously has a GPS disc.
Oh my god. Yeah. Well, you can't use your GPS anyways, doesn't matter.
No.
CD player is my I have a stand for my phone that goes into the CD slot.
A stand for my phone.
Yeah, it's like a little thin little piece that goes into the CD slot, and then as it jets out a little slot for my phone.
So you're telling me that the media vacuum,
yeah.
Like the place where you would put media,
yeah,
is being occupied,
yeah,
by a stand,
yeah,
for its replacement,
yeah. And then I use the Bluetooth.
That's one way. That's one way to do it.
Yeah, man.
It's one way to do it. Your heavy rotation list is pretty.
Yeah. Great. What are you listening to
right now? I just watched Hidden Figures.
Okay. So Pharrell.
Yeah. I'm not afraid to admit that.
No, nah, man.
I heard that song and I Shazammed it immediately.
So are you listening to the Hidden Figures soundtrack? Or are you listening to like old NERD?
I tried to listen to the rest of the soundtrack and I was pretty excited to bring this up to you, but like, I just couldn't get into it. I was like, oh man. And then I put on that Hidden Figures soundtrack. It's the shit. It's like, I listened to like two songs before I was like, oh, the only song I really like on this is the Pharrell thing.
Yeah.
Which was such, it's one of those songs that is, it's ambiguously hype.
Yeah.
It sounds like it's going to get there.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't.
No.
But that tension.
Yeah.
It's like rubbing a balloon. You're like,
yeah,
what's going to happen?
Yeah.
And then I listened to it again. And then I got frustrated because it was like, yeah, this drop is never coming. So now I need to remix it so that I can
throw in some Skrillex.
Just throw down the Sonny Moore.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so no, not listening to that soundtrack too much. Just that song. Movie was amazing. Maybe we'll talk about that later. Hannah hipped me to this artist named Lizzo.
Okay.
Have you heard of this?
No.
So Lizzo is a piece of a collective known as Girl Party, which it's spelled GRRRRRL Party.
Cool.
This woman is phenomenal. I wish maybe in post somehow we can like put in a little bit of her music or something like that. But like her rhythm, she's got a very cool sounding voice. And then it's matched with like all that the modern production. It sounds like Jadena's people got a hold of a woman with a fine voice. That's what it sounds like to me.
Cool.
So you got all these like, you know, syncopated rhythms and trappy sounding stuff, but really it's just kind of like some decent hi-hat work. So yeah, between I think I was listening to Pharrell and Lizzo on the way down and then a bunch of Spanish stuff. But
what do you mean Spanish stuff?
What I mean by Spanish stuff is I have it's not like a job, but it's a It is a job. With all the things going on with comfort food, which I don't even know if I've mentioned it, right? So, but I've mentioned it as like a, I guess I don't need to define it, but what I'm doing with comfort food in this case is a restaurant mm-hmm. is interested in having a playlist curated for its entire place. Mm-hmm. They have a Sonos system there, and so they want to zone out the areas and have specific music playing in specific places.
Right.
And it is a Spanish-themed restaurant. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's called La Quita. Who cares?
Yeah, I lost my glasses there.
You did, and we never found them.
Yeah.
Although I do see this bartender wearing a very familiar pair of sunglasses inside.
Yeah, and he's just like, I can barely see out of like these prescription sunglasses.
So I've been doing this job for a minute, and I have been screwing it up. I totally like gave him like Brazilian and Portuguese and like all this music that I thought kind of like fit what he was looking for. He's like, no, I want to feel like I'm in Spain. Mm-hmm. So I've been digging even deeper and found a lot of music that I'm probably going to end up mixing with it mm-hmm. as well. But yeah, I've been kind of in that realm of music for the last several days. And I found some really good stuff.
Are you going to do some like special like comfort food remixes of... some of these songs?
That's a good question. Probably not. It depends. It depends on what you mean by a comfort food mix. Like, I do have intentions of releasing music at mm-hmm. some point, mm-hmm. but it won't be under the name comfort food. Mm-hmm. Like, it won't be a comfort food.
Are we dropping that name now?
We can. Yeah. BAPS.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We can definitely get into projects and shit. I've run it by you.
Yeah.
But comfort food is evolving in this way where it started out as I'm going to set up some things to play music and that's what it's going to be.
Right.
But now as I find that, like, I have friends that I want to make music with, I have friends that want to make their own music. I have a desire to perform on my own without, say, the other guys that I've been DJing with lately. So, like, comfort food is going to be this umbrella kind of thing that just has, like, think of it as, like, a crew or something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or, like, a Majestic Casual Selection, that kind of thing, where it just represents this theme.
Right.
And then I've come up with a name for what I will produce and mix under. Mm-hmm. And so now, yes, BAPS, mm-hmm. spelled BBAAPPSS.
Yeah.
And I've registered all the shit, so don't go looking for this name. It's not going to be available.
Yeah, it's also already on my phone.
It's already on. You already have it on your phone.
Autocorrect. Already correct. Already knows it. So
that's good. That's good. But I think that this is kind of important for me and that whole venture, because I think it's important to call things by a name that you feel comfortable. And right. It hasn't felt like really comfortable over the last few months as I've gotten more interested in it mm-hmm. and want to do different things, like mix a whole bunch of Spanish songs into like and release like a 10-minute tape or like a 20-minute tape or something like that. I don't even know what the releases look like.
Sure.
But I know that comfort food can't really release mixes.
Right.
Yeah. And call them like this is a unless
the three of you
exactly
mix them.
Or unless, I don't know, maybe we'll talk about what that means, but I just know that I'm not going to engage with the other people involved with comfort food on making a mix unless I particularly like need their help or you know, I'm totally open for collaboration, but it's like already I've felt a reinvigoration toward producing and making music, but the comfort food name was giving me some weird vibes because like that's a group thing, that's a collaborative thing,
so. Right,
so yeah, I'll probably mix some of the let's put it this way. I found a flamenco guitar version of Michael Jackson's ABC where it is performed in the flamenco style.
Yeah.
And then it is also sang in Spanish.
Oh.
It is a joy to listen to. It is a joy to listen to. It was funny because, like,
what if you mixed the music with Michael Jackson and the Jackson 5?
Oh, my. I was wondering about that. I don't know.
Because you know there's some isolated tracks of those.
I do not have a good source for isolated tracks.
No one does.
I was going to say, I don't think anyone does. We have to fake it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, yeah, that's what's going on. It's interesting. Like, what are you listening to lately? It's like, kind of a research project for a job that I kind of hope to have. Mm-hmm. I've been really working out, with the floor manager there, and he's really given me a lot of direction. And like, put it this way, I really did think it was going to be sort of a job that was easier, like when it was described. But curating a playlist for a restaurant is pretty, like, if you're trying to do this, it's difficult.
Yeah.
Like, if you're trying not to put on Pandora Radio, it's difficult.
Yeah.
I would have a much easier time at, like, a barbershop.
Oh, yeah, that'd be easy.
I would tear that up every time.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like that'd be really easy.
I'd have an easier time putting a set together for a jazz fest.
You sure would.
Yeah, but let's see. I think I listened to the Nicki track.
The new Nicki track?
Yeah.
We need to talk about this.
Yeah, we do.
It's no good.
It's subpar.
I mean, look, Drake sucks. That's already been established. So he wasn't going to elevate this track.
Yeah.
That Lil Wayne part is 14 seconds.
Yeah.
Not very good.
What do you mean by not very good?
It's not very good.
It is very par for the course Wayne, though.
Yes, but he's been showing up on tracks recently and killing it. Solange. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Chance.
Yep.
Yeah. And then he did this one. I was like, all right, well, you're back with Nicki and Drake and
first impressions, just like what happened when you heard the song? Did you make a face? I was with a friend and I made a face as soon as like the song was getting started. I was like, yeah, this is definitely a Young Money beat.
Yeah.
This is taken from the repository and shoved in.
Yeah.
So this is going to sound pleasing. It's going to sound aesthetically pleasing.
Right.
But what is she about to say?
Which is nothing.
Yeah. It was sorely without substance.
Do you think she didn't want to have the rap battle situation of in the traditional, I guess the ones I could think of in like reverse chronological order, like Meek Mill and Drake.
Yeah.
I'm sure there was like a bunch of other ones in between.
Game and whatever.
Yeah.
The game and everybody.
And everybody. But then you go to like the Remy Ma track steals from Nas's Ether. So you had the Nas and Jay-Z. And,
right.
And then you had obviously Tupac and Biggie.
Right.
Do you think she didn't want to participate in that era of, or that history of rap beefs, or did Remy Ma actually murder her and Nicki Minaj knew she had nothing?
Well, the way that I look at this is that Nicki Minaj is a team. It's not a person.
Yes.
I think that Remy Ma is more of a person than a team.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you have someone that's coming at a group of people and there's like a consensus or a committee that's responding, it's going to lack that personal fuck you in it.
Yeah.
I definitely think that like, and maybe like Drake's team is just like better at making it seem like this is a total fuck you diss.
Right.
I do think that Nicki wants to engage in the rap beef. I also think that Nikki's team wants to rebrand what a rap beef is. Or I think like maybe even young, I think even the industry itself is trying to like say rap beefs don't involve like bullets much anymore.
Well, they haven't since Biggie Tupac.
Right. So. Well, true. And I mean, they can talk about killing each other all day. I just think I feel like this is what happened. I feel like this is what happened to Nikki's response, is that it was a classic graphic design timeline where it probably went through tons of like feedback rounds and like writing shit.
Right.
And
right.
By the time they actually had a product to release, it had been ground, like the guttural shit was probably removed. It's like, Nikki, you cannot say that. It's like, I just talked about her kids and shit. It's like, yeah, but you cannot
right.
talk about their esophagus being like, you know, filled with, I don't know, like fill in the blank.
Like the lyric sheet of Nikki's part was like labeled final R1
yeah.
master final real right. final.
It just felt like I was, when we listened to it, me and my dude Justin were listening to it, which I'm working on a project with him. Did you meet him? You
mm-hmm. met him? Maybe I did. I don't
tall
know.
Justin.
Tall Justin. Yeah. No, I don't know.
Sometimes people's heights can jog the memory. We listened to it, and like halfway through, I was like, beef is boring. This is boring to me. Like,
but if Nicki Minaj, so when was the Remy Ma thing? 2 weeks ago? The first track was two weeks ago. The second track was like a couple days later.
Yeah.
Which the second track was garbage. but like the first track, if Nicki Minaj had responded, just like had like a 8-bar loop.
Yep.
Underneath,
yeah,
and she just responded. I think beef would have been fun again.
That's,
if it had been like a personal response,
make beef great again. Yes,
that's gonna be Wendy's new tagline. Yeah.
But I agree with you. I think so. I think that. What's the word for I think confrontational matters have to happen within a certain time frame for them to have the same connotation and meaning.
Or if Nicki Minaj had, even if it had taken this long and the song that came out had like the ferocity of her verse in Monster.
Right.
Where it was like Nicki Minaj at Nicki Minaj's best when she's kind of like a crazy person.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't that. She was like singing for most of it.
Singing, doing some auto tune.
Like a lot of auto tune.
Like, I gotta say this, man. Like, you can kiss the track with some auto tune, but a diss track, auto tune is no place for a diss track.
Yeah.
Auto tune is a good place, or auto tune is for ballads.
Yeah.
Like, diss tracks is for like kind of a shitty garage recording.
Yeah. If it sounds like you may have recorded this on your iPhone.
Yeah. And I'm furious.
Yeah.
I'm so furious that I don't have time
to
send this to my producers and shit. Like, this is a beat that I made on iMachina on my iPhone.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Remy. Like, that's how I would.
Yeah.
That's how I wanted it.
Yeah.
We got a super nice package. It's like,
yeah, they take a little photo together.
Like, which makes them look poor. It's like,
yeah. Yeah. And then, yeah, it was no good. No good. And it was really disappointing.
Yeah.
Because there looked like there might have been a really fun 72 hours.
Oh, right.
That had nothing to do with Trump.
It was. What was like it, 38 minutes? We got 38 minutes into this.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only time I'm going to mention it. But like,
this episode.
It looked like we were going to have a fun little, a fun weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And then it didn't happen.
Yeah. There's a lot of fallout from basically Nikki fans. So I started following World Star Hip Hop on Instagram about it. A week ago, and then I stopped this morning. I had the same problem that you had with following Chance. Like, you just post too much.
Right.
It's too much.
Yeah.
Like when your entire Instagram feed's World Star Hip Hop, it's too much.
It's too much. I mean, like, I'm enjoying it, but I'm also like, this is like not what I'm kind of here for. Like, Instagram's like this nice little place I have for sunsets and breakfast. I don't need. But like, if you look at the posts on there, there's this person who recorded a video of himself responding to Nicki's response.
Sure.
And it's this white dude who's like, why is the ethnicity matter?
It does matter.
Because this dude is like, the response is him listening to the track. It's a video of him listening to the track and then kind of just going like, oh, Nicki, oh, geez, just terrible, terrible. And then he takes a gun.
Oh.
And there's a sound effect and what like looks like him shooting himself in the head.
Oh.
As a response.
It's like it's like an Atlanta with Van.
Yes.
And his response videos about the mixtape where he's like his ears are bleeding and stuff.
Yes, yes. Oh, I cannot. When is that show back?
Next year, maybe.
Jeez. Next year, maybe.
Yeah.
Too busy.
He's super busy being Simba and Lando.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
You go, boy, you go. You go, Donald Glover.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, like, people, that's a weird response, right?
The video?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. That's not an interesting take. Like, if any of the, like, MTV, New York Times, like, cultural people that I follow wrote, like, 1500 words about why Nicki's response did not hold up to the traditions of the rap battle and like the beef, and that would be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But like holding a gun to your head and having like a sound effect of you shooting yourself and just like listening to it and go, nah, this isn't good. Like that's not helpful.
No, exactly. Not definitely not helpful
or interesting. Like, what is that? What are you adding to the conversation?
I'm just saying, maybe we all shouldn't have like $600 video production level.
Also, some people should just not talk. Just don't even bother responding.
Yeah. No. So I mean, like,
I mean, maybe we should be talking to ourselves at this point. But
we are talking like to ourselves. We are doing that. This is a kind of like, hey.
Yeah.
Things are going to happen as an invitation. You don't have to take it.
No, you don't.
We definitely like it when you do.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what happened after the Nicki beef? Sorry, after the Nicki response in the internet of things. The next morning, we were delighted with a video of a very important man in a very important suit taking a very important interview and then getting interrupted by his daughter.
Oh, yeah. All right. I mean, it was
good. Do you enjoy it? It's fine. You're not supremely tickled by it.
It was funny the first time I saw it at like 8 o'clock in the morning.
I think that's what it was that the timing of it.
Yeah, it was like
a little bit to do with it.
Yeah. And then when I got a CNN updated about it by like 6 p.m. It's like, look at this cute video of like the woman diving into the room trying to keep the kid from coming in. It's cute, but come on.
Josh, people are relating this to like.
We're trying to be happy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Trying to be happy. But also, like, I don't know. I think there's something in that video, like, that represents. There's, like, a 8-minute Medium read on it within hours of it being released.
No, there isn't. Is there really?
People got takes, Josh. People got
Look,
takes.
I got a lot of hot takes. We can start going through them if you want. But
I mean, isn't that what the show is just takes. Is that not?
Yeah, but I don't think we need to have a hot take on that video.
It's true. I mean, I guess it's not like necessarily a hot take.
I don't know.
It's more like
an 8-minute Medium take, I think, is inherently a hot take.
I think our takes thus far are about the takes that other people are taking.
Yeah, we're our hot takes and
we're,
hot
we're
takes.
We're taking the take.
Yeah.
Behind the takes. We're going to open up that Tacono.
No.
No?
No.
I'll take it back.
Yeah, please.
Sorry, that one tickled me. Okay, fine. It's not all that, like, interesting. I just think that what's interesting is our consumption of it.
Yeah.
Like, our, like, oh, my God, everyone's just like me.
Yeah.
That's how I feel.
Yeah.
And all the things coming out of it, like. Just everything is a GIF immediately.
Everything
as soon as something is interesting.
It was so when I was home for Christmas, there was a big basketball game on Christmas Day. It was Cleveland Cavaliers versus the Golden State Warriors. It was a fun game. It was really close. And there was a dunk by Richard Jefferson on Kevin Durant. Richard Jefferson's 36. And he dunked on Kevin Durant, who's like 10 years younger than him. Mm-hmm. And It was a pretty disrespectful dunk. Like, it's a dunk you looked at and, like, you know, you go, oh, okay.
Okay.
Within 2 minutes, there was a video. It was a GIF of it on r/NBA.
Oh, okay.
Like, the NBA subreddit within 2 minutes already had a post and the GIF available.
Yeah, before the game was over.
Within 2 minutes of it, like, of it happening. Like, it happened.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I wonder how fast. Oh, it's already there.
They cut away to him, like, sitting on the bench for a second, looking at his phone, like, looking at the GIF.
Like, going, I don't, like, even know if they had, I don't even know if the game itself had time to show the replay. Like, I think too much game was still happening. Like, right. It wasn't a timeout. There wasn't a commercial break. Like, the game was happening. So they never turned away. Mm-hmm. But, like, the internet already had a GIF of it. I mean, I watched it a bunch.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Dunk GIFs are satisfying. Yeah. That's another reason why I had to drop World Star.
Is it too many dunk GIFs?
It was too much of the stuff that, like, is a little inconsequential. Like, I do think that stuff is cool. Uh-huh. But Instagram and most social media is, like, I feel like you got to groom them to be, like, kind of some healthy things. If you just have a land of chocolate bars and donuts in your Instagram feed.
Okay.
It's not going to be a good place. Like, I need some challenging shit. It's like some Porus Walker, that guy that draws all the penises. You don't know this account? I'll share it with you.
No, I'm all right.
But you everyone should look up Porus Walker.
No,
he's an amazing Instagram artist.
Don't do that, everyone. Don't trust Brandon right now.
You probably shouldn't trust me in my Instagram feed. No, it's it's where time goes to die.
yeah.
But I was gave you an update on some comfort food, man. What's going on with what projects? What do you got? What's going on?
I got nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Clean slate.
Pretty much.
Well, you're gonna come up and take some pictures, right?
Yeah.
That's what's up.
I'm gonna take some pictures. Yeah.
I have hired Josh to take photos of the Comfort Food Clan.
And you. And just mostly you.
But I mean, like, let's be real here. The subject, I'm going to be one of the best subjects that you'll have that day.
Really?
But it is life. Santa Barbara. So there's going to be plenty of other specimens.
Nope.
No?
Just you.
You only got eyes for me, baby?
Yeah, man. I mean, you're really this the best thing I've ever filmed.
Oh, no, that's not true. You won a Grammy. Emmy.
I didn't win a Grammy. I also didn't film that. I'm saying with me behind the camera, looking through the lens.
Yeah.
Looking at you.
Yeah. No, I'm framed up.
Yep.
I think there's a trust. When you ask someone to take pictures of you, have you seen that Instagram feed, Boyfriends of Instagram?
No.
Yeah. Do you automatically know what it is?
I feel like I know what it is.
Can you describe it before even?
Is it just the, like, boyfriends of, like, it's just the selfies with a couple selfies and the guy looks miserable?
Okay.
I just assume.
That's close. It's pictures of boyfriends taking pictures of their girlfriends for their Instagram shots.
Okay.
It is very enjoyable.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, do not take Brandon's advice.
Check out boyfriends on Instagram.
There's only one.
Hannah came to visit, and this woman dropped Lizzo and boyfriends of Instagram on me. Those two things alone were worth it.
There's only one Instagram account that Brandon has ever sent to me that I've ever continued to follow, and that's Rappers with Puppies. And Rappers with Puppies is amazing.
It's baller, man. What's funny about Rappers with Puppies is that it's introduced me to some new rappers. I wouldn't have listened. I've definitely gotten to be like, well, that guy looks cool. Maybe,
yeah,
you know.
But also, what are these dogs some of these people have? Like, why? Like, it's like tiny little teacup poodles.
Puppies are the new, like, cars with rims.
I guess.
It's one of them. It's one of the new things.
Yeah.
Hey, man, the culture's changing.
It is.
Rap beef is about autotune now. It's just a different landscape. All right. If you're not working on anything, what is coming up? I mean, you've got something coming up. I forget what it was.
Shooting some pictures of you. We got probably a couple more episodes of this podcast.
That's true. I feel like April was, you said something about like late April being better than.
No, I just said April was better than.
Than March.
March. Because we're already in March. We in it.
Just because like, it had nothing to do with your...
Yeah, I mean, I turned 30 in 9 days.
That's a big one. What are we doing?
Nothing.
Come on, we have to get at least, like, hammered.
Nah, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm 30. You know, you just, it's really not the same.
You just kind of, when you turn 30, you just kind of like keel over.
Yeah. I assumed this cold I got was me, my body, like realizing it's turning 30 and it's weakening. It's like, all right, we've been alive 30 years now. Let's start breaking it down. Start striking the set.
That's a horrible metaphor.
Yeah. That's how I feel.
That's how you feel on day 69 that's how, and that's, streak. Yeah, yeah that's you how like voice, cough away.
And that's how
like,
my voice sounds. And day, it's not day 69.
Brandon, I walked around the day for about 2 months in a row, and it's all been downhill.
Today is 70. I'm on day 71.
Okay, so by the next episode, we can look forward to like day like 90 something.
Yeah, maybe.
See, there you go.
We'll see.
It's a little bit. That's something to put on your.
Yeah.
A little docket.
Yeah.
A little calendar.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, shit. What's
Brandon, you've seen Get Out, right?
Yeah.
And what'd you think?
That movie changed my relationship with my white friends. As does anything culturally important to black people tends to do.
What do you mean?
I laughed at Get Out in a way that I don't think my friends have heard me laugh before.
Right.
And it's not that I don't do, it's not that I fake laugh. I never fake laugh. But that movie tickled very nuanced experiences of mine.
Right.
Like almost to the fact that you can only understand this if you've either been very close witness to this or experienced a situation in which it's not just a biracial relationship. It's a biracial relationship with certain characters playing out the people in it.
Right.
So, it just really, it struck so many of the right chords.
Have you ever gone and met the parents of a girlfriend, probably let's say one that's white, and then met extended family or friends, and had there's a scene where where Chris, the David Kaluuya character, Daniel Kaluuya, David Kaluuya, Chris, I don't remember. I got his last name right, and that's kind of all that matters. Where he and Allison Williams are kind of walking through a big dinner party. And he's being evaluated by a bunch of different people, and they're all like grabbing his arms and, there's a conversation about like, what do you think about
the Black experience or something. And, have you been in those situations?
So no one ever asks me what it's like to be Black. No one ever asks me that.
I feel like I ask you that.
You ask me that. But like I'm saying in that situation mm-hmm. in which mm-hmm. I'm meeting a girlfriend's parents.
Right.
Or even like honestly, man, that can happen. That can happen at any extended family oriented gathering.
Yeah.
Where you have a smattering of ages and perspectives all conjoining onto one area and there's one Black person there.
Yeah.
Like that can happen anywhere.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the things is like, this doesn't have to be your significant other.
No.
This can just be
the friend.
Any room where there's more white people than there are Black.
Yeah.
There's definitely been. So the arm grab, the thing where someone's like kind of testing, like, not your strength or something, but they're just like impressed with you.
Yeah.
They're just impressed with you.
Yeah.
And that's it's one of those things where, you know, where if you talk about the Asian community and you're like, oh, your people are good at math.
Yeah.
It's like that thing where it's like your visual appearance is pleasing to me.
Right.
And they will communicate that to you.
Right.
And you're like, thank you. And this is to me, it doesn't come from the wrong place ever, but it's just something to note. Like,
sure.
It's nice to be told that you look nice, but to like comment on your ferocity or your animalistic, like,
yeah.
Truly, like, it makes you feel like kind of like an animal sometimes.
Yeah.
To be appreciated in that way. And then you have the hair thing, you know, like people just like touch your hair. They just want to fucking touch your hair. And like, I ultimately think it's, I don't know if it's harmless. I don't think it's harmless, but I also feel kind of embarrassed by bringing up that I notice it.
Yeah.
I just do.
Yeah.
So yeah, that scene, I mean, there was so many, I mean, really that party scene
uh-huh.
was a big part of the plot. So it was kind of like ongoing.
Yeah.
And I felt so many of the things during that.
Yeah. It seemed like it was a documentary. It turned into a documentary for about 10 minutes.
So man, just so much of that was executed, just in a, one of my favorite scenes was the still on who played the grandmother character. I don't remember the name. I don't even remember the character's name.
I want to say it was like Georgina or something.
I feel like that was close to it. Either way, we can correct it later if we need to.
Yeah.
But when they were talking about the phone being unplugged.
Oh, yeah.
And they had that still shot on her where she's like smiling so bright,
right.
but crying.
Yeah.
I'm getting goosebumps even just talking about it right now.
Like, right.
Where I've felt that. I've like in my body, I've smiled big, but like felt like a, just like felt a stuckness or a, I feel like that movie articulated a lot of things that a lot of people feel,
right,
that they've just not known how to explain,
right.
And I don't think the movie explains it really. It just kind of
shows it.
And then has a lot of good jokes in between, so it's just so delicious.
Yeah.
What did you think? How did you have a good time? Were you howling? What was going on?
So I had a weird experience.
Oh, perfect. Well, you have a weird experience, like not a weird experience, but you are mixed race. So like,
I'm still Black though.
you know what?
I had a question for you.
You do.
Let's just skip my weird experience and go right into the question.
Okay.
All right.
I don't want to skip it, but okay.
So Jordan Peele and I share a very similar biological background in that we both have white mothers.
Yes.
And Black fathers.
Yes.
Now Jordan Peele, for those of you who haven't seen Key and Peele, which that's silly, you know what, Peele plays Obama
yep.
in those sketches. He's also Jordan Peele. I know everyone should know who Jordan Peele is.
He's Dave Chappelle too. Or no, not entirely, but
no, I wouldn't say that.
No, I wouldn't say it entirely, but I put it this way.
That show, Key and Peele, was sort of a Chappelle show too.
Thank you. That's what I meant. That's what I meant by that.
Yeah. It wasn't like edgier than Chappelle's show. Chappelle's show was definitely still edgier, but it was a successor to
it was Chappelle's a show. Comedy sketch show that featured black issues.
Sometimes. Now, let me ask you this. Get Out.
Yeah.
Exact same movie, only instead of it saying a film by Jordan Peele in the beginning, it says a film by Josh Cole. Right? Exact same movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Nothing has changed.
Mm-hmm. Characters, plot devices, everything.
It's the exact same movie.
Okay.
Does that movie get the same reception because I look the way I do and Jordan Peele looks the way he does?
Because Jordan looks blacker than you.
Because Jordan Peele looks black. If you didn't know he was biracial.
Yeah.
And to some people who are listening to this, they go, his parents are. Right. No, they are. His mom's white.
Yep.
Same thing with Keegan Michael Key.
Yeah. No, that's, I mean, I'm not saying that that's their shtick, but that's part of their narrative they're both biracial.
Yeah. And in one of the first episodes of Key and Peele, when they did their stage thing, they talked about the fact that they're biracial and that they would go in and out of that character, depending on the situation. When they were around their black friends, they acted much blacker.
Yeah.
Than they ever do. And then when they're on their white friends, they are the cool black friend.
Now, I gotta say, like, is that not true for everyone, though? When you're around a bunch of black people that are acting a certain way, won't you assimilate to the group? Maybe you'll ham up the
I don't think you would act necessarily blacker.
Right.
Than you.
It's because I can't. It's very disingenuous.
Yeah, but I think, at least in my life, I have to prove
that you're
that I am black, and which would require me maybe to start quoting James Baldwin in the middle of things,
or giving them your heavy rotation.
Yeah, yeah, or saying
your Apple Music heavy rotation.
Yeah, I've been listening to so much Lauryn Hill recently.
I was thinking about how to open this up to you, and I was going to say, how black were you last month?
I watched the New Edition story on BET. That's how black I was. But yeah, so there's like that necessity to validate everyone else. And then when I'm around the white folks, I have to be the cool black guy.
Yeah. Right.
Which you would also experience.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
But if I made Get Out, I am personally convinced that, let's say it was just as famous as Jordan Peele. Let's say it was Cole and Key, which is a terrible name. Or Key and Cole or whatever.
Yeah.
Right. Let's say it's the exact same. We have the exact same career. I also did Mad TV. I am also married to Chelsea Peretti. Like,
yes.
All of these things are identical.
Praise be.
But I look like me. But
you look like you. Yeah.
I am pretty sure, the black community wouldn't like
celebrate as hard. Like, Chance would not buy 1 million, would not buy out the ticket to your
movie. Yeah, and every single like black website wouldn't have these pieces about how Get Out is like the most important movie in years, and black Twitter wouldn't be like, holy shit, Get Out's the best movie. This is saying like all the things that like, there wouldn't be hot takes about what race is like. Like,
yeah.
I am convinced because of the way I look, that there would be a lot more articles about like, who is this Josh Cole character?
And
like
trying to permeate our culture. And
yeah. Like I have listened to a lot of Jordan Peele interviews. I find him really interesting. He's really incredibly smart and talented. And I like hearing him talk about this movie because it's a movie I enjoyed, but no one's asked him about his blackness.
Yeah. I have not done this. I haven't gone into this.
Yeah.
And so that it's actually interesting to hear you say that. I figure that is what the opening question would be.
Right.
was, how black did you have to be to make this movie, Jordan?
Yeah.
But you're saying that the interviews don't cover this?
The interviews cover like what it's like, oh, you've experienced these things. It takes it as read that his blackness is solidified. It talks about being black and all these things.
He doesn't talk about his mixed.
He doesn't have to talk about his mom or his dad. He doesn't have to. And it, I feel like people can go into an interview with Jordan Peele and talk about Get Out and talk about horror movies and how horror movies have been traditionally been like are stories about the black, you know, monster. Literally the creature from the Black Lagoon is, you know, all these horror movies that have these like very racially toned things. He can go in there and talk about that without having to defend his blackness. Mm-hmm. I feel like if I did all the exact same interviews,
yeah, you would have to defend.
I would have to be like, no, but like, you know, my dad's black and the entire family I've ever been around in my entire life is black. And I went to, until college, I went to majority black schools.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Like, Lauryn Hill, guys.
Yeah, right.
Like, not that that makes it me black. There's plenty of, but like, I've been asking this question around, and I've been asking all my white friends, and they're like, I don't know. It feels like maybe, and like, no, I'm positive that I would have to defend my blackness, and then maybe in 6 months mm-hmm. when it's on DVD, I get to like revel in this like black story.
Yep.
And like I get to be celebrated maybe in 5 years.
I see what you mean. Like you wouldn't get the immediate eruption of what I would call the fanfare of success for this movie because of the way you look.
Right.
And I would say that that's true. I would say that Get Out is much more successful because the person behind it looks like the people that movie is targeting as a protagonist.
Right.
I think that you would experience. So you've got your woke folk. Mm-hmm. And then you've got your wannabe woke folk, mm-hmm. and then you have regular folk. And Get Out appeals to all three.
Sure.
And I feel like this movie made by you would still very much appeal to woke folk. Uh-huh. And it would, the woke folk would kind of show the wannabe woke folk what's up.
Yeah.
And then the regular people would be unflappable.
Right.
So, And yes, maybe in 5 years. I mean, this thing is a classic now.
Yeah, this movie
is like day one.
Yeah.
We will watch this on Halloween.
Yeah, it made money and also it permeated in the culture.
And it was a pretty inexpensive movie to make, right?
It was $4.5 million budget. It's made almost $100 million.
Incredible.
In 2 weeks.
Praise be.
Yeah.
So I want to bring up two things, and I can't tell. Like, maybe I'll bring them both up to you, and you'll see if you'll take one in either direction. Is do you feel as though this truth that you would not experience the same success due to the way that you look for this particular piece of art? Mm-hmm. Do you take slight with that? Do you take problem with it? And then the other point I want to make is someone like Jedenna, who is mixed race, looks similar to your flavor of mixed race, meaning his hair is a bit, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, and he very much addresses his black experience.
Right.
Actually, in fact, like you said, I love what you said, actually. I've never heard that mentioned. Is that a popular way to say this? Like, I'm mixed race, but I'm black.
I think
that's so...
Yeah.
Profound to me.
But the reality is, just in American history, if you're 1/8 black, you're black.
Right.
So I'm not a half. My dad's a little, he's got some other stuff.
Yep.
But like still at least 48% black.
You're a brown man.
Like it's still pretty close to half. And the percentages, genetic percentages.
Right.
Through school, Everything said black, and yeah, so.
So what I do want to mention is that, okay, it actually, it is one question.
Okay.
But it's one question, and then I would like the perspective of someone who does look like you, who is able to celebrate their black experience, and is, I mean, he has a song called Classic Man. Yeah. I'm not saying that his music is classic instantly.
Yeah.
But I am saying that he has, the Eruption feels different, but yeah. I do believe that there's like a celebration surrounding Jidenna and his ability to say nigga and look like someone who might not be able to if you saw him in the right lighting and makeup.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
but I still don't know if it's
and maybe not slighted is the word, but you know,
I don't know if it's maybe the career choice.
Yeah.
Like in my head, I was going through, as we were talking just now, I was going through all the biracial people that are in the popular culture.
Yeah.
You've got Key and Peele.
Yeah.
Barack Obama.
Yeah.
Rashida Jones. Blake Griffin. Trevor Noah. Jidenna.
Janamane.
I don't think so.
Where?
Maybe she is. I don't know. That one, I don't know. Uh-huh. But I was thinking of like similar biracial, white mom, black father.
Oh, right. Okay.
Because then you can add in plenty of like, once you start adding in the mix of Hispanic, then you've got
everyone.
Then you've got Mariah Carey.
Yeah.
You know, like Mariah Carey and I are, we're not.
You're not from the same farm.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's, but it's not the same, you know, comparison. Weird. None of those people I just named. They have to deal with it, but like they get the pass, right? Uh-huh. Key and Peele get the pass. Barack is the first black president.
Right.
He's the first black president, but also Jidenna rapper gets the pass.
Yeah.
But he's also like half Nigerian and he's got the red Nigerian beard. Yep. And yeah,
he
gets the pass. I mean, the beginning of his album is like a Nigerian voice.
Yeah. Such a great album, but
yeah, it's great. Blake Griffin plays basketball.
Yep. I can't believe Blake Griffin's fucking mixed race.
But also Blake Griffin and I kind of look alike.
True. Yeah.
We've got this same skin tone who else? Like Rashida Jones is it Barry Gordy's daughter? Not Barry Gordy. Quincy Jones. Quincy Jones' daughter. So obviously,
yeah,
gets that pass,
right? And so, are you mentioning this pass? Like, what context are you mentioning this pass?
I'm saying like they get the pass as being black. Maybe Rashida Jones because she did Parks and Rec.
Uh-huh. That's very not black.
Very not black. But like Aziz and but I feel like I have to defend those. I would have to defend those things because I'm not in a medium necessarily that is.
Right.
Generating in a like black cultural sense.
Yeah.
But also I feel like I just visually I have to defend it way more.
Yeah. And I mean, so with that defense, I mean, I think there's one side of this where you can observe that the defense needs to be made. And then there's also this other side where you get to defend it in a way like where, yes, the responsibility is on you, but there's a certain pride to take in upholding the responsibility. I mean, I'm not saying that it's fun to necessarily do this, but there is a reaping of benefits that come with a culture that gets to celebrate when something like Get Out is successful.
Yeah.
Or and celebrate when someone can breakthrough the U.S. charts with a Nigerian theme behind their entire album.
Right.
I suppose.
But the thing that breaks them out are the black portion of that.
Yeah.
And they don't have to defend that. Like, I didn't know Jidenna was mixed until weeks ago.
Really?
Yeah, I had no
idea. it's one of the things that he puts out like as and in his lyrics a lot of the time.
Yeah.
But I mean
I think it was reading his lyrics. So I was like, oh okay. Yeah, he is.
Well, he said black and white Janelle Monae. That's what made me think
Maybe Janelle Monae. I think that's the reference to like her Android robot stuff's always black and white. I think.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
Like all of her stuff is, she's always wearing black and white.
Word. Layers. Yeah. Layers, man, layers. Could you state the question again?
If which question?
The premise is if you made Get Out, would it be as successful?
Would it be as would the black community
embrace it as much
without me having to like go on a black offensive? I would
have to say yes, because I think black culture is especially sensitive to those that don't always look. That's why there's a phrase light-skinned.
Yeah, it's not a positive one.
It doesn't have a positive connotation from, like, if you look at it from a historical sense, but there's no one in your life using light-skinned as a slight, is there?
No, not in my life, but right. I'm also not in the larger community. I feel like if I made Get Out, there would be people who are like, oh, he gets to make that movie because he is light skinned.
Oh.
Rather than
he made this movie
because he identifies with everything that happens in that movie. Like that.
Yeah.
I have numerous stories of like going to a white girlfriend's family thing and having weird racially charged experiences, or having to say to a girlfriend, your parents know I'm black, right? And having them say, well, you're not. And then I have to go, no, but hold on.
Yeah.
I am though.
I'm mixed, but I'm black.
Yeah. Like, but they might not, they That's might incredible. Look at the room and go, oh, maybe he's Hispanic.
He's Puerto Rican. He's on the spectrum.
Yeah. But like,
I feel you. Would a good way to say it like be, he got to make that movie because he's light skinned versus he made that movie despite his black experience, or like, what's the inverse of that?
What do you mean?
What's the inverse of he got to make that movie because he's light skinned? What's the other?
Well, that would be the Jordan Peele. He made that movie because of his black experience.
Right. And that's such an interesting question. I do think that you would have to defend based on how you look visually, but I also don't think it would be like this war. I don't think it would be like a I think you would explain your, I get that you shouldn't have to defend it.
Right.
But I also don't think that once you have made your case or whatever, it's like, hey, I appear this way because this is my parents and this is how I'm formed. I think the black community is especially welcoming to, I mean, maybe like Josh, I am a black person. I don't know if you can like kind of like this is I think I know where the struggle is. It's like you're saying like, no, the black community isn't as welcoming to people of light skin.
Right.
And I'd say that, yes, they are more readily celebrating people that look closer to them.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I would have to concede that you would definitely have a more difficult time with the same exact movie and shit like that.
Yeah.
But that doesn't come without the other side of that coin where I'm not saying that like other things are easier for you.
Right.
But there is where one privilege is taken away.
Yeah. Yeah.
There can be another one somewhere else.
Yeah.
Which doesn't make it okay.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
But yeah, that's I do think you would have a more difficult time getting to that level.
Yeah,
the black culture.
Yeah, I think there would be at least one 16-minute long Medium post about about biraciality and colorism.
Can I write it?
Yeah,
can please. I write your? Can I write a 16-minute Medium piece on you? Would that make you feel good?
Yes.
And that way, the best thing that someone who's trying to work with the black community in any capacity is a track record. Yeah. You need blog posts dating four years back.
Yeah.
Defending Chimanda or something.
Yeah.
Or maybe like you need to be retweeting Hanif right now in order to be like,
right.
Like, oh, he knew what he was talking about in 2017. Look at his track. Look at his tweets.
Yeah. I should probably start doing that.
Yeah. Shouts to him. Have we done an episode since the reading?
No. You want to wrap it up with a little Hanif?
Wrap it up with Hanif, especially if I can stick to my little positive thing here, which I believe is far more annoying than it is efficient. But everyone should be reading Hanif. I don't know how to say his last name. Abujard?
I don't know.
I should have probably asked him how to say it.
Yeah, you're friends with him.
Hey, you know. Hanif is a we'll link to his Twitter and his books in the show notes, but phenomenal writer from Josh and I's hometown, Columbus. And this is so in line with what we're talking about. He writes particularly about a black experience in growing up in Columbus, Ohio. And I think he's got a couple of stories about traveling outside of it, but lots of stories are in his book, The Crown Ain't Worth Much, about some of the things that we're talking about now, definitely in more abstract ways, definitely written from
he's a poet.
Yeah, he's a poet. So and it's a book of poetry that I've been reading alongside my mom right now. And man, like this guy he's able to, I mean, really what it does to me is like, it just makes me feel better.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if his words are necessarily meant to be healing.
Yeah.
But what I get out of them is someone who's able to take his scenario and weave something nice and poetic about it. I mean, I guess that's the job of a poet, but recently I saw him perform at the Ace Hotel in LA. It was incredible.
Yeah.
He was performing with this thing called Pop-Up Magazine Tour, where a lot of people were taking the stage and telling stories and reading. I think he was the only one who read a story in the way, like in the poetry format. There might have been other artful stories.
Right.
But I think he was the one who wrote in stanzas, and this is meant to be consumed this way.
Right.
He's definitely got, I think he's done touring. I think because he's working on the second book. But definitely check out this first book. Follow him on Twitter.
Yeah, he just did a piece. Was it for MTV? Probably, because he works for MTV,
exactly,
right?
Exactly, yeah. He works for MTV News.
He just did a piece about...
I think he wrote on the MTV Music Awards.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
He just did a piece about Biggie's 20th
year. Yeah. Did you read it?
I did not.
Yeah, it's good. What did you think about
it? It's great. Yeah.
So, I mean... That's the artist of the artist suggestion of this Tag H episode is definitely Hanif. If you have any social media accounts, look him up. I wish I could know how to say his name. That's pretty embarrassing, but you know, rather than butcher it. So yeah, I've been following him for a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah. Following you for a minute. We should plug our Twitters. Why don't we ever plug our Twitter?
I don't know.
You should follow Josh on Twitter.
Yeah. I'm looking at Hanif's
Twitter
account now. Yeah.
And you're getting the...
Yeah, I have no idea how to pronounce
it. Will you try?
No. That's rude. It's rude to try.
Is it really rude to try?
It's a little rude to try. At least with butcher.
Jeez. Well, what it is that it has a Q in it.
Yeah.
But it's not followed by a U.
Yeah.
And you just never know what to do when that happens.
Yeah.
Oh man. So follow him for like food takes on food. Like, you know,
yeah, he's got a lot to say. I can at least get his Twitter right. It's Nif Muhammad. So NIF Muhammad.
Yep.
At Nif Muhammad.
And we are at tag happen.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. TAGHAPPEN.
Yeah.
And this has been lovely.
You're at Stout. Are you still at Steak Cassiopeia?
Yeah, still. Hey, yeah. Steak Cassiopeia. And like that name is I really like it. I'm also wondering, I mean, will I have that when I'm 40? Will that be? Yes. It's not embarrassing. No. Like, I really like it.
No, but it's not. It's not Lever Girl 69. That would be embarrassing.
I feel like it's weird when there's two 69s. Like,
well, that's, man, how he, I mean, how,
people are kinky.
Yeah.
And you are at
Joshua W. Cole.
Joshua W. Cole.
Yeah, you can see.
It's pretty good. Like, Josh has some shit, man. When he's watching a basketball game.
Yeah.
It goes down. When else does it go down in the paint?
Election.
Election result.
I got real mad at L.A. this week.
Deservedly so. 10% turnout.
11.
Sorry to, not, sorry to get it wrong.
It's no better.
You'll find, like, mostly grocery tweets from me.
Oh, yeah. Hashtag grocery tweets.
Hashtag grocery tweets. Just, like, thoughts about what's going on in my mind while I'm shopping.
Yeah.
Because I haven't, you know. Can't I have profound epiphanies in grocery stores.
So instead of shower thoughts, it's grocery tweets.
Yeah. Pretty much while I'm in line, or I'm like looking at, there's honestly 40 different types of rye bread.
Bread. There's a lot of rye.
Not bread in general, because that's about 400 choices.
Yeah.
So yeah, just things that give us a follow. Hang out.
Yeah.
Give us some hashtags.
Yeah, I'll participate in a hashtag thing.
You got any good hashtags for right now? For a sign off?
No.
Nah?
No.
Hashtag nah?
Hashtag nah.